relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
What really is going on? The Lone Star State could be its own country. It'd be a great country. But a little bit of bad weather, and it's falling apart. We need to know the truth. Is it the windmills? Is it the lack of windmills? Is it because there's too many windmills? Well, guess what? We don't rely upon the fake news industrial complex. We rely on people who are there and have been purveyors of truth on the airwaves, well, since the dawn of time. He is known as the Voice of Dallas, our good buddy, 660 AM The Answer, author of Upside Down, Mark Davis. It's been too long.
Seb, it has. As I properly said, in the middle of February, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Okay, so do you have too many windmills, too little windmills? Does Texas not know what winter is? Please, I've had enough of the propaganda, the garbage. You're there. You know the truth. Give us the essentials for the millions of listeners we have who aren't in the Lone Star State. What is going on, Mark?
Here's a thumbnail sketch of the lay of the land, and then you can take it wherever you would like. First, about the windmills, about the wind turbines. Did they freeze? Yes, they did. Did that matter very much? Not as much as some people would have you believe. As a conservative, I'll take the opportunity to scoff at the unreliability of green energy with the best of them. But in the summertime, we might see a 10 or 15% pull off wind and solar. In the colder weather, not so much. So the notion that we experience this horrific blackout because of over-reliance on green energy is a bit of an overstatement.
I mean, my as somebody doesn't live here, the idea that Texans knowingly put too much reliance on energy provision that is weather dependent, I just didn't buy it. I'm sorry.
Exactly right. It does make an all hands on deck argument, though, in the following way. If we are going to have every century or so temperatures below zero in half of my state, maybe at those times we need to have almost no reliance on the fringe shiny toys that are renewables and rely on the fossil fuels made by God himself. So about the winter and about those temperatures, it gets cold here. We have snow here on occasion, but this really was a once in a century event. And so this has been an amazing week, Seb, of 2020 hindsight and finger pointing and scapegoating, all understandable because we're all tense. I'm just thrilled to have power here in the house, which I've not had reliably for 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And the bottom line here is that could this have been foreseen? Perhaps. But if I told my audience this very morning, I said, what if I had come to you a year ago, 5 years ago, and said, you know, there's this great Trump tweet and maybe Jerry Jones and the Cowboys have done something and there was something crazy on MSNBC. But we're not going to talk about that. Today we're going to talk about heavying up our grid and winter-proofing our natural gas heads. People would have broken their arms changing the station. This was something that we were kind of asleep at the switch. Republican politicians in our state are admitting as much. And so we move forward with the idea that every once in a while it will get this cold here and we'd better be ready for it.
Is there anybody, I know it's super early, you're still trying to claw your way out of this as a state, is there anyone we can identify who bears more culpability than anybody else, Mark?
It's probably not. I mean, everybody's going to go after Governor Abbott, or they're going to go after, the left will go after, a Republican-run state is going to be savaged by the left in any opportunity I guess opportunism is exactly the key. Look at the ridiculous attention paid to the Ted Cruz Cancun Gate, all from people who hate his guts anyway. We collectively thought this could never happen. There were things in our actual grid and in our delivery systems that were not ready for, you know, 4 or 5 below in the northern part of our state, not ready for 20 or 25 degrees down by the valley. The real problem, the reason this became such a big story and became such a big emotional story, people without power, people without water, is that there were tons of Texas homes, Seb, where the power never went out.
Yeah.
Everything stayed on, and boy, were they the subject of some envy and bitterness at times. There were, at the other end of the spectrum, there were homes where the power was out for 4 straight days. Here in my house, it was the perfect middle ground and the way everybody should have been. We had about an hour and a half of power on and about an hour and a half of the power being off, day and night. Now, that's no picnic, but it was livable.
Right.
And so that shows to me that the now familiar acronym ERCOT, the R there being reliability, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that their task of sort of being the air traffic control for how power is dispersed, that it was a massive, massive failure.
We need more R in that acronym, ERCOT. We're talking to Mark Davis. He's the host on 660 AM, The Answer. Follow him right now at Mark Davis. You wrote a seminal work. I have my own signed copy, Upside Down, How the Left Turned Right into Wrong, Truth into Lies, and Good into Bad. Let's revisit that concept, Mark. You mentioned Cancun. We have a guy who's a senator who's not exactly manning the nuclear power plants or oiling the windmills. He's one of 2 senators in Texas, and he's being lambasted. He's being crucified politically because he takes his family to Mexico. And then you have a guy who runs New York who's responsible for the deaths of 14,000 New Yorkers. Is the Upside Down you wrote a book about, is it worse than ever, Mark Davis?
Every word in there is not only still true, it may be more true. I think Trump broke so many people and rendered so many of them to be so shrill and so unhinged that this is what you get. I will stipulate that there are a lot of people who don't like Ted Cruz. Whatever. Some of them are Republicans. Whatever. But the outsized, ridiculous, absurd overreaction to this 24-hour turnaround, I know what optics are. Seb, you know what optics are. And if he had this to do over again, he'd love to have that decision back. Fine. But the notion that this is some stop the Earth in its orbit story while Andrew Cuomo hangs by the thread of his own malfeasance is all the evidence you need of these crazy times.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the bigger picture. Let's talk about not just one GOP senator, but the GOP writ large. You've been following these issues for so long. You're such a trenchant observer of all these matters political. As a conservative, what is the way forward for the party? I see I'm in the swamp. I follow this stuff 3 hours every day. I see this propensity that the needle is moving back, the rubber is stretching back to the business as usual, GOP, get along, go along to get along, scratch Nancy's back, she'll scratch ours. Where you're sitting in this incredible state that literally would be one of the biggest economies in the world if it were its own nation, are you worried that when Donald Trump left office, that they just said to themselves, oh, God, now the GOP can get back to normal?
I am concerned about what the establishment is clearly doing. I don't know that I'm particularly concerned that voters are on board for it. There's no doubt that from Mitch McConnell and the news today of John Thune, a senator that I like very much, here he is saying, hey, Republicans, don't punish these seven senators who actually voted to impeach, because that would kind of be cancel culture. No, Senator Thune, it's not. That is proper revulsion displayed by conservatives toward the treachery and betrayal of seven Republican senators. And over in the House, you have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Fred Upton and this rogues gallery of Trump-hating Republicans. They're about to learn that they're playing a very, very dangerous game. And I'll wrap up the answer in this way and then go wherever you like. In the Republican Party, among, you know, all Republican office holders, there are two kinds of people. People who are big fans of Trump and people who are not. If you are not, okay, let the game come to you. Don't all of a sudden start hating on him or giving him the back of your hand as if you wish he were never born. Don't go Nikki Haley. Don't go Mitt Romney. And we'll try to find a way to plow forward together.
Yeah. The role of the president, last 30 seconds, Mark, the role of the 45th president in the next 2 years?
Is left up to events on the ground and the mood of the voters. I believe he has all the power to be a kingmaker, a party leader. I still consider it a less than 50% chance that he actually runs. He's probably enjoying private life a little too much. So let us find the proper heir to the revolution.
Interesting. Less than 50% chance. But we shall see. We shall see. Because if he wants to come back, oh, he'll be back. AM 660, The Answer. Mark Davis, thank you for giving us the ground truth. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial.
Hear ye, hear ye, ladies and gentlemen. Hailing from the far reaches of the swamp, the righteous writer of wrongs, the triumphant teller of truths, this is the Baron Boris Epstein on America First.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to say, Mika, but that's classic Andrew Cuomo. A lot of people in New York State have received those phone calls. The bullying is nothing new. I believe Ron Kim, and it's very, very sad. No public servant, no person who's telling the truth should be treated that way. The threats, the belittling, the demand that someone change their statement right that moment, many, many times. I've heard that, and I know a lot of other people in this state have heard that.
Poor Bill de Blasio. What's his real name? Wilhelm von Schickelgruber? I'm not sure, but it's something Germanic. I never thought I'd play him to make a point, but things are changing on the left, and I think somebody who has opinion on it is our regular guest here, my co-host on the Battle for 1600. He's not in Cancun. He's called the Baron. Boris Epstein, welcome back to America First.
It's great to be here in America, on America First, not in Cancun. And Bill de Blasio, a.k.a. Warren, Wilhelm Jr., attacking a fellow Democrat. I tweeted about this. This is quintessential, priceless, Democrat-on-Democrat annihilation. Bill de Blasio versus Andrew Sonny Corleone Cuomo.
Look, there are so many rival explanations for what's happening inside the Democrats. It's infighting. It's jockeying. You are the seasoned political professional with the sense of history, former strategic advisor on the Trump campaign, my buddy, my former colleague in the White House. I think, but tell me if I'm wrong, Boris, this is bigger than just competing egos. I really think Governor Cuomo of New York is in big trouble. How about you?
It's shocking to see these two Democrats go at each other. But if you look at the history of de Blasio and Cuomo, they haven't gotten along for a long time and are always looking to take pot shots at each other. And, you know, de Blasio obviously is widely known Warren Wilhelm was widely known as one of the worst politicians, not just in current America, but in American political history. But the fall of Andrew Cuomo from grace. I mean, this is Andrew Cuomo, who was viewed as the pinnacle, the acme of dealing with COVID-19.
You're making me think of Wile E. Coyote, the acme. I mean, really, I think that's a good comparison. But you're right. But he was feted. Wasn't it just a few?
And the fall from grace is just Shakespearean in nature. Shakespearean in nature.
But this is the individual. How many months ago was it, Boris? You've got a better memory than I have. How many months ago was this individual the one who's being feted to be the front runner for the Democrat presidential nomination in 3 years' time?
Well, first of all, they thought he was doing so great with COVID, the Democrats, that they tried to sort of talk about getting Cuomo in 2020 because he was viewed as their,
yes,
as their champion and you know, really their pretty boy. It was him and Gavin Newsom. Now Gavin Newsom is about to be recalled, hopefully, and Cuomo may end up in Sing Sing for lying about COVID deaths and what he did with senior citizens in New York. It has been a dramatic fall for both of these Democrat politicians. And frankly, the two front runners for the, you know, if Biden and Kamala do, you know, Biden does the right thing and doesn't run in 3 years. If Kamala Harris, which will never happen, but if she actually realized her shortcomings, the leaders of the Democrat Party were supposed to be Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo.
Yep.
And now both have been absolutely destroyed, frankly, by their own hubris.
Yes.
Like Gavin Newsom destroyed by putting in strict COVID laws and then flouting them to go to fancy parties. And Andrew Cuomo destroyed by wanting to so bad to be, you know, the prince of COVID response, right? He was on there with his brother, Chris Fredo Bromo, okay? they were broing out on national cable television. So, by the way, this was one of the very leads here. So embarrassing for CNN, right? Because they let Chris Cuomo, apparently for the last 8 years, 9 years, they've had some sort of policy where Chris Cuomo can't cover his own brother. Well, a pandemic hit, next thing you know, they're talking about literally, and this is not some, you know, some joke and or some metaphor. They literally were talking about tomato sauce.
Yeah.
While people were dying.
I hate cotton buds, giant cotton, yeah, buds, Boris.
Giant, we call them Q-tips, okay?
Well, I think Q-tips. That's an advertisement there. It's like Xerox. I'm using the neutral. They don't sponsor us yet, so when Q-tip sponsors us, I'll call them Q-tips.
I love it. Hey, that's why you're a businessman. And it is very disappointing that the national media gave Cuomo such a spotlight. It is absolutely not surprising. But also, notice this. You mentioned the Cancun thing. Yeah, you know, Ted Cruz made a mistake. I actually think he should have said, you know what? Yes, I went with my family. Yes, I probably shouldn't have. But you know what? If this is all you all care about, you need to get your priorities straight.
Yep.
If you look at the coverage amount, the coverage time of Andrew Cuomo killing the elderly versus what you have with Ted Cruz, I mean, it's Ted Cruz 10 to 1.
But he didn't. But he didn't manage the response. I mean, come on, you are a seasoned operator. He didn't manage it well, did he?
Oh, Ted.
Yeah, Ted.
Not the best. This was not great. Should have just honestly. I think he shouldn't have apologized. He shouldn't have meandered around it. Should have just said, "Yeah, we went. What do you want from me?"
Yep.
Okay. We went. You know, I'm a United States senator. I'm not the head of FEMA. I'm not in Texas state government. I'm a United States senator. What do you want me to do? Pass a resolution? You
know, I think they wanted him to be the guy hanging from under the helicopter with the oil gun who was oiling the windmills. I think that's exactly what the left wanted him to be doing.
What they want him to do, but instead what he did is the quintessential mistake that Republicans and conservatives make way too much, which Donald Trump never makes. He backed down. Ted Cruz, you know,
never surrender to the mob. And what Senator Cruz did is he knelt, maybe on one knee, but he knelt to the mob, and he should have been unapologetic. It's my family. I'm not running FEMA in Texas, and I took them away for 2 days out of the danger of what was happening there.
By the way, to maybe allow for some more resources to be able to be used for others.
Right.
He's able to get away, let it use for others. But notice, Andrew Cuomo doesn't back down.
Right? No,
he's
never.
He's out there swinging away.
Never.
The Democrats, you got to give it to them. I disagree with them on everything, but you look at Nancy Pelosi, you look at Cuomo, they never back down.
Let me just put it this way. Democrats take politics seriously. And there's one other guy who does, and his name is Donald Trump. We're talking to Boris Epstein, my co-host on the Battle for 1600 podcast. Follow him now, Boris EP on Twitter, Boris_Epstein on Instagram. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It's not a good thing to be envious of others in terms of the jobs they have, especially when you get to talk for 3 hours a day and get paid to do it. We have two guests who have jobs that, you know, are pretty cool. Our favorite Green Beret, Terry Shepard, the host of Hollywood Weapons, who gets to blow stuff up and shoot stuff on camera and get paid for it. And then our next guest, I was just national security editor for Breitbart.com. He's the Rome bureau chief, not too shabby, Professor Dr. Thomas Williams. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. It is a pleasure to be here with you, coming in live from Rome, from the Eternal City.
Tell us first, we have to discuss, you've been doing some amazing writing, the cultural beat, news about what's happening also elsewhere around the world. Tell us what's happening in Italy. It seems like ancient history. It seems like, you know, something to do with the Etruscans when we first discussed, you know, the COVID explosion, not in China, but in Italy, especially in northern Italy, and the horror stories of corpses stacking up, especially amongst the elderly community in Italy. That was a year ago. Tell us, you're there, you're in the Eternal City, you're in Rome. How is Italy coping with China's deadliest export?
Well, the numbers are actually very good. People are terrified still. And this is kind of the fallout, I think, from a campaign to get people afraid. I think it was part of something you needed to do maybe with the Italians to get them to be compliant with the norms and regulations. But the people are still terrified.
Is that across the spectrum? Is that across age groups?
Across age groups. Definitely more in the older. You don't see it really among the kids. They'll have their masks hanging half down, and as you know, in Italy, how you look is more than half the battle. So a lot of times people will just look like they're compliant too, you know, and that's, they consider that to be sufficient.
But their barber jackets and their little cigarillos and their tight pants and their polished shoes will be immaculate, correct? The mask might droop a little bit, but the couture will be perfect.
Exactly. And we joke that everybody is taking up smoking because you don't have to wear a mask when you smoke. And so you see everybody with a cigarette in their hands because that's your excuse for not wearing a mask.
One of the things, I spent a semester as a fellow at the NATO Defense College in Rome, in Eur. One of the things I miss the most, they're super cheap, but the little Garibaldi cigarillos that they would sell in every tabaccarie, every little news agents in the city, I miss those. I might ask somebody I know who lives there to bring me some next time he's coming. Okay. In terms of government policy, I'm curious, is it the same kind of extreme policies that are coming out of the UK, these different phases of lockdowns? How's the Italian government dealing with it?
It's pretty heavy-handed. At least I'm experiencing it that way. I think oftentimes overblown, a little more than is needed. They've divided the country into regions, and each region gets a letter, yellow, orange, or red. And if you're red, it's basically full lockdown. If it's yellow, they used to call it green, but they didn't want anybody to think that things were completely normal. So they made the lowest level is yellow, which means you can go out. Restaurants are open at lunch, but not at dinner. There's still a curfew in the evening because, of course, the virus only comes out at night.
Hang on. Let me just come on. In a culture where food is just lifeblood of the culture, you can go out for lunch but not dinner? How is that justified?
Well, they don't want people starting drinking and then getting, you know, a little too lazy in their compliance with the different norms. But it's really been dastardly because this has been a year now. We've been locked down for a full year. And, you know, 13% of the GDP in Italy is tourism. Yeah. And we've got zero tourism. You've got people really going under. In Rome alone, they say 30,000 businesses that have closed will never reopen.
Wow.
And those will never reopen. I mean, the fallout from this is really intense. It's not a happy situation, put it that way.
Truly sad, truly sad. One of the world's most amazing cities where you can just turn a corner and see something that literally has been standing there, a man-made object that has been there for 2,000 years or longer. We're talking to Professor of Philosophy in the Eternal City, Thomas Williams, PhD, also Rome Bureau Chief for the most influential conservative website on the planet, Breitbart.com. Follow him right now, T.D. Williams Rome. That's T.D. Williams Rome. We will be back with the good professor momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. What kind of cell phone do you use? It's an important question because cancel culture isn't just about actresses who work for Disney. It's not just about the president being banned on Twitter. It's about everybody, and it even applies to your phone. Did you know the biggest cell phone carriers are partisans? They like the left. They fund the left. When you pay your bill at the end of the month, they're going to give donations to Planned Parenthood, to gun control organizations, even fund Democrat campaigns. Don't let your money be used against you. Change today. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America, Patriot Mobile. Right now, you can transfer your number. They can do it all for you. It's a U.S.-based team. You call them up, 972-PATRIOT. There is a good reason that they are rated number one in America for customer service. You'll get the biggest discounts if you use my name. Extra discounts for veterans and first responders. Join them and then find out what they do at the end of the month, which is support causes you believe in. Join the good guys, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That's 972-PATRIOT. Call them 972-728-7468. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Banning dining out in Rome? Are they crazy? I think they are. That's not going to last very long if I know the Italians. Let's talk to a man who knows them better than most. He teaches philosophy for St. John's University of New York in their Rome campus. And more importantly, he is the Rome Bureau Chief. What a great title. Rome Bureau Chief for Breitbart.com. Professor Thomas Williams. Follow him. T.D. Williams, Rome. Let's talk about the news of the week. The sad passing of a true great who created a whole new sector, a whole new industry. And that is talk radio, not just conservative talk radio, but talk radio. The great Rush Limbaugh. You follow matters cultural and also to do with the Vatican and the Catholic Church. You've written a piece for Breitbart, Professor Williams, where you... note that the Catholic League called Rush Limbaugh a gift from God. How significant a statement is that?
Well, I mean, you've seen the reactions. They've been absolutely crazy. They follow the polarization of our society because you've got people who know Rush and who listen to Rush and know what a voice of reason and you know, is such a countercultural presence. They love him. They're praising him. They're praying for him. And then you're getting reactions. When I wrote this piece, I was flooded with mail and on the Twitter account with people criticizing, saying he was a liar, he was a bigot. The body's not even cold yet. And they were already throwing out all these ridiculously, you know, horrific titles for the man. No, Catholic League, they're very honest. Bill Donahue, a friend of mine who runs the Catholic League, he's willing to say anything. He calls it the way he sees it. He'll take any kind of flack he has to for it. And he came right out and says, look, this guy was a hero. This guy was the one who was telling the truth when nobody else was. And this guy gave people a home to go listen and understand that they weren't alone, that other people thought the way that they did. You know, some people have been saying that he was, in a way, the one who paved the road for Trump to even become elected, that those forgotten people were already, in a way, found by Rush before they were found by Trump.
No, I've been saying it on this show all week since the sad news that the Tea Party, the MAGA movement, and the Trump administration doesn't exist without what Rush Limbaugh, that space for conservatism that Rush Limbaugh created, single-handedly, truly remarkable. Somebody else who stood up for the president, stood up for conservative values and the faith is our good friend Mike Lindell. He is under assault right now. 19 massive corporations have boycotted him, refused to stock his products. Send the cancel culture fascists a message today. Go to MyPillow.com. Order whatever you want. Use my name. Mike's going to give you 60% off. It doesn't matter if you've already got one of his incredible MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the pet beds. Just send a message to those who want to unperson and cancel Mike Lindell. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code GORKA today. Stand up for America. Stand up for this great American. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code GORKA. We are back with Professor Williams. Professor Williams, it's not just, you know, it's easy relatively for individuals like Rush or Mike Lindell or myself to take the slings and arrows because, you know, it's part and parcel. We understand. But you wrote this story from Canada of a pastor who was jailed because he refused not to hold services or to abide by the 15% capacity rule for his church. As somebody who writes on these issues, who follows, who teaches philosophy, how big a deal, how frightening is this to you that pastors are being put in prison because they want to do their job?
I mean, as you know, this is what we come to expect from, you know, the Soviet Union or from China today or from, but not in Canada, for goodness sake. I mean, the man, all he wanted to do was minister to his flock. They had already fined him in December because he had gone over the 15% capacity limit. Then they told him you cannot hold services anymore in punishment. And finally, he said, you know what? I have to serve God before I serve you. And, you know, God and government should be on the same side, but you're not right now. And so I'm not going to back off. In fact, they told him we would release you from jail if you will just promise to stop holding services. And he says, I cannot do that. And plus, it's somebody, he's also very convinced personally that the the reaction to COVID is overblown. He thinks that there is an attempt to really stir up irrational fear. He says, yes, it's real. He's not a denier, but he says, you know, people's spiritual needs are at least as important as their physical health. I cannot stop ministering.
Let me ask you the important question for me. Why are there so few people like this Canadian pastor in our churches, in our local communities? Why is there this one story or a couple of stories? This is the bigger problem, isn't it, Professor?
It is. This is the $64,000 question. Where is the courage that the church has shown over the centuries during real plagues and really terrifying situations and wars when they were out there on the battlefield, they were out there ministering to people. And now it seems like everyone's hiding and everyone is just, you know, the highest thing you can do right now as a Christian is, oh, be compliant, wear your mask, show what a good, you know, citizen you are, a good little sheep, instead of actually standing up and saying, look, this is a great opportunity to talk about eternal life, to talk about life and death, to talk about mortality, to talk about salvation, things that really matter. And instead, all we get is mimicking of the health officials. And it is very, very frustrating to a lot of people.
It reminds me of the discussion we had with a good friend of the family, Bishop Julian Dobbs, who was in studio. I think it was the last Lenten season, and he was in studio for an hour. And he said, I've been a practicing Christian all my life. Now I'm a bishop. And there was nothing that stopped me from celebrating a mass. It wasn't the AIDS epidemic. It wasn't September the 11th. It wasn't natural disasters, hurricanes. And this is the first time ever I'm being told I can't minister to the souls who are in my congregation. We need more individuals like that brave pastor. Thank you so much. Follow this man, Rome Bureau Tree for Breitbart.com. T.D. Williams Rome is his handle on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and can find relief nowhere else, you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next Leah? You know the answer to that question. Go today to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. What have you got to lose except the pain? You know it makes sense. Do it today. Relieffactor.com.
We were told Obama's out there in Indiana telling these people their jobs are never coming back. And somebody in the audience, well, Mr. Trump says he can bring them. Obama says, what's he going to do? Wave a magic wand? Look what happened. We got the jobs back. It can be done. They don't even want to make America great. They resent the whole idea of America becoming great. They resent the idea of America as a superpower running the world for good.
L. Rushbo in. What is that? That was just a 24-second cut with more truth in that less than 30 seconds than most of the mainstream media who are supposed to be doing journalism provide in a year. And it's really the theme for today. It's the theme for the last 2 years. It's the theme for the last 4 years of making America great again. Look at what they're doing. Look at the policies. They want to make it harder for you to travel in America, as an American citizen. You want to go to Florida?
no, federal government, the Biden administration is going to get in the way. But if you're an illegal alien crossing our southern border, you won't pay any penalty. You won't even receive a COVID test, unlike U.S. citizens who have to travel from one state to another. That's the Biden plan. But why? Why? How could you justify that? Only one possible way. The opposite of America First. We are the problem. It was true for Obama. It's true for Kamala Harris. And who knows what's true for that senile old man who currently bears the title of the 46th President of the United States. Does he do anything out of some ideological conviction? Does he even know what he's signing, what he's saying? In the town hall today, he said the opposite statements within the same 20-minute segment. That's who Biden is. He's not compos mentis. He's not in charge of his faculties. But when he signs those executive orders, they become reality. So now, it's up to us to re-emphasize what we believe in, which is America First, which is making America great again. And the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, well, he had a message for us. Let's listen to him from January the 20th.
Things that we've done have been just incredible, and I couldn't have done it without you. So just a goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. So, have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you.